driving. Bill Lane crosses up. Van Zuul, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go off the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Katie Sykes for three.
Got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Live from the campus of Illinois State University, this is the Red Zone. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here in Bloomington Normal. I'm Anthony Ferretti, joined alongside my co-host Joey Dwyer. Joey, how are you?
I'm feeling good, Ferretti. It's been a stressful week, to say the least, but favorite part of my week every week is doing this show. Unfortunately, we don't have Scott with us tonight. He's getting a little MRI, so
yeah,
hoping for the best for him. But we have Mitch filling in. But
we do. Mitch Gwads.
Mitch Gwads. But before that, we got something even more exciting.
We do.
No offense, Mitch.
We do have some pretty exciting news. Wow. We got a lot of cool Redbird athletes, but a unique opportunity came by for a couple of Redbird volleyball players. Kaylee Martin and Steph Jankowicz were able to go to Colorado last week and participate in the U.S. Women's National Team tryouts, both at the Olympic and collegiate level. And we are very honored to be joined in the studio right now with Steph Jankowicz. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Just to start it off, what a cool experience for you guys to be able to go and try out for the national team. What was that experience like? Just walk us through those days in Colorado that you guys spent.
It was a little overwhelming just because we were traveling so much and we had a lot of layovers, and we had to get there with our stuff ready to play, and like the altitude's a lot different there, so that causes a lot of changes in how we're playing and our capacity as athletes. But it was really fun overall. We got to meet a lot of new people. We got to play with people we normally compete against, and it was a great opportunity.
What was, the travel experience like trying to get from Bloomington Normal to Colorado?
Right, so we actually had to drive up to O'Hare. We spent a night at a friend's and then flew out at, 6 in the morning to get to Denver and then fly to Colorado Springs. And I think coming back was almost a little worse because we were flying back with all the snowstorms and that Sunday night, and had to fly to Dallas to come back to O'Hare. But overall, it was good, and we didn't miss a flight. We did have to sprint to a flight, but it was good.
And when do you find out the results of the tryout, whether or not you're going to be considered for the team, all that stuff?
Yeah, so we actually got an email saying in about 2.5 weeks they'll have all the emails sent out on who made it or who didn't.
Okay, and is this for, is this tryout for Tokyo in 2020?
No, so it's for like a gold division of solely collegiate athletes that can play per NCAA rules, and they get coached by other college coaches, and then there's, I think there's two teams this year, one that's in Anaheim playing, and then one that will travel overseas.
Okay, so could you compare it almost to like a collegiate all-star team?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We were talking about it earlier today, and I was like, wow, it seems really late to be
right.
Holding tryouts for the Olympics, but that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
But that's just as cool, I think, to be able to play, like you said, play with these women that you've been competing against.
Yeah.
That's got to be such a cool opportunity. Is there anything that you learned from this experience that you're going to try to apply to the Redbirds in this upcoming spring season and then the fall season next semester?
Yeah, so Karch Cry, the Olympic women's head coach, was actually there during our trials, which was really cool, and he really emphasized making solutions out of chaos. So even though you could be playing the worst game of your life, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be good, and I think that's something Kaylee and I really took away, was that it's okay if we aren't perfect in this trial. We just need to be good and put our best selves out there, and that's what will get us through.
And you're talking about competing with some of the bigger schools. Like, there were some people from Wisconsin and Stanford, and being from a mid-major school, did you try to not let that faze you and just be yourself and just play Redbird volleyball while you're at the tryout?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. So we had to remember, like, we earned our same spot that all these other girls earn. And no matter what school we came from, like, we still won conference for the past 2 years. We're still making big statements out there in preseason and postseason. So it was important to remember that we're not the only mid-major school that was there, and we just had to show our stuff.
And speaking of winning conference, I want to go back in time a little bit and talk about the experience at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament and then going up and competing against Wisconsin. What was that like as a team? Obviously, your second year in a row. Just walk us through that experience, going through the MVC tournament and then going to the NCAA.
Right. So it was really nice going into the tournament. Everyone was healthy. We were all literally on our best game. I mean, I think we took the tournament pretty well and pretty easily. And then seeing Wisconsin in the first round, obviously having your nerves because they were seated so high, but it was just the opportunity. Like, the environment that we were playing in their gym was insane, with every person in the crowd screaming. And it was actually really cool in the third set when we got them quiet for a little bit, when we had that upper hand. But it's all about the experience, and you always learn from losses or wins.
And this is a pretty young team that you have this season,
right.
And so I can only imagine that you're going to be able to build off of this and head into next season with a lot of the same core.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is that, to be able to keep a lot of the same team, the same base, and just improve even more.
Yeah, it's really exciting because right now, like, the only thing we're all working on is our skill and our chemistry as a team. And coming back with a lot of the same players, it's our bond is even stronger than it was last season. And we're a really tight-knit group of girls, and I'm excited to see what next season will come with.
And how do you feel that you guys have kind of adapted and fit into the chemistry of head coach Leah Johnson, because your first year here was her first year coaching, so ever since then it's been 3 years. So how do you think the team has been able to build off of her?
I think it's been really strong. I mean, we're learning from her and she's learning from us. We always say that we're learning from each other every day, whether it be in academic situations or athletic or public situations. No matter what it is, we're always learning new things, and I think that she's really made a really positive influence in this program.
And you touched on it a little bit, but spring season starts Saturday for you. What is the main focus going into these four games that you guys have in the spring, just to kind of polish your game?
Yeah, I think right now it's basically controlling what we can control, because we're not going to be perfect in the spring. The spring's for working on your imperfections and trying to better them for the fall. And so we're really going into this Saturday game with Northwestern just knowing that we can control our voices, we can control our effort, and that's what we should be putting in 110% of the time.
And, you guys are playing Northwestern, as you mentioned, on Saturday. You won't be playing at Redbird Arena. It'll be in Horton Fieldhouse. So have you guys gotten a chance to practice volleyball in Horton Fieldhouse?
Yeah, so we're actually playing in North Gym in Horton, so we play there almost every practice, especially in the spring. So yeah, we're ready and we're used to the environment.
And so North Gym in Horton, is that wood floor, or is that the, like, the blue kind of corky?
Yeah, it's wood.
Okay, thank God. I can only imagine. I played intramural fours,
right.
And I had to play, and I tore.
On, like, sport court?
Tore myself up, so I couldn't imagine playing at a high level on that. But that's good that you guys are playing on wood. And then you've got the three more games, Iowa, Illinois, and then hosting St. Louis. That will be in Redbird Arena. So playing all these Big Ten schools, is that kind of an opportunity to gauge yourself against some of the bigger conference schools?
Yeah, I think it's a really good challenge, because normally Big Ten will recruit the taller players that we'll see a lot in preseason most likely, and so it'll be really important for us to work on different skills playing against them and just seeing how well our defense can work around it too.
And we've seen you guys being able to compete with some of those top teams. You upset U of I back in the Redbird Classic, almost took down Marquette, but took them to five sets, and then you played Wisconsin Badgers. You played them pretty well into the third set, causing them to take a timeout. And I was talking with Coach Johnson a couple weeks ago, and she was saying that you guys were one of the better teams, I think, that played the Badgers, because they didn't have a margin that close right up until the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that we definitely give these teams a run for their money, and I'm excited to see what we'll do in the spring.
And how do you guys deal with the adversity that you're facing? Because as you mentioned, the Big Ten, they got a bunch of taller players, so it might be a bit daunting on that front line trying to work it to your outside hitters to try and get something going. So how do you guys kind of use that to your advantage?
Yeah, I mean, like, as you grow up playing volleyball, you're always going to – you stop growing eventually, so you have to adjust, like, when you're playing the bigger girls anyway, whether it be in travel ball or now. So I think most girls are really used to it, and they use that shortness to their advantage, honestly, because you work on different shots, you hit the different parts of the court that it's harder for the taller girls to hit because they're used to hitting straight down. And the Valley, we just play a different game altogether because we're so defensively strong that – it makes it a lot harder for a lot of the taller girls to score.
And that's so interesting to hear you say that, because watching volleyball and calling it 4ZND, you always see, like, the Illinois game. I know you were there, Freddie. And
I sadly was not there because I had to work for TV 10, and I had to do the soccer game, but
no.
I was getting updates.
Oh, my God. It was electric.
I was so mad.
That might be the best Redbird sporting event I've ever been
really?
To. It was
packed. Awesome.
Yeah, I was able to call the Marquette game. That was a pretty close one. And then being in Allen Fieldhouse against the Wisconsin Badgers, that was just electric.
Yeah.
Just, you guys were up big, and then all of a sudden the Badgers tie it, and the stadium erupts, and I look at my play-by-play guy, I'm like, oh my goodness.
But what I was going to say is, when the Illini came in, and when Marquette came in, they obviously had the size advantage, mm-hmm. but seeing how you were able to combat that, I think, is really interesting. And that's something that people don't see a lot,
right.
Like when you're watching at a surface level, how much skill goes into being able to place people who are bigger than you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about the grit and the challenge that you really want to put yourself forward. And we knew we were going to have a hard preseason this past year, and we just fought through it to the end. And that game, it came out lucky for us.
And as we are starting to wrap up just a little bit, what are you most looking forward to as this will, or in the fall, will be your senior campaign? So what are you most looking forward to as you ride out your last season as a Redbird?
Yeah, it's almost like going out with the last hurrah. All of us seniors, we're really excited to play in the fall, but we also don't want it to be over. So we're just hoping for another conference championship.
Hey, well, that's an admirable goal. I think it's very achievable.
Yeah, got it. 2 years in a row, hopefully going for the three-peat. And just when you're watching the NCAA reveal show,
mm-hmm.
you guys won the tournament, so you're not as anxious because you know you're
right.
getting a spot. But are you guys kind of playing in your mind like, oh, who are we going to go to? Because
yeah.
I know you guys were bummed because you guys almost wanted to go to Hawaii, but you ended up going to Wisconsin.
Right. We were actually thinking it would be Wisconsin or Kentucky for that round because it's normally by region, so how close you are. But yeah, when we saw Wisconsin, you know, it's kind of shocking, but we're also excited for that challenge. I mean, no one ever gets to play Wisconsin in that big of a stadium all the time, so that was the most exciting part.
Well, Steph, thank you so much for coming and joining us. Congratulations on the invite to
Thanks.
The national team tryout. That is beyond cool. I can't even fathom that. What a cool experience. And make sure that you guys follow along as the Redbirds start their spring season against Northwestern this Saturday.
It'll be at Horton. Yeah, best of luck this spring season, and best of luck with the outcome in the trial. But I think regardless, I think you should be pretty honored that. I think it's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, thank you.
I would say so. Thanks again, Steph. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Redbird football here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
No better way to bump us back to the show than our own Steph Jankowicz.
I thought it was very appropriate, you know, just having her on, bump
major,
it back a little
major
bit.
Major props to her and Kaylee Martin just for being able to make it to the tryouts and compete on the national stage and just get the attention from that coach? Because being a mid-major school, you're thinking they might not have a chance because they're not a Stanford, they're not Wisconsin, they're not Baylor, they're not Texas.
But like she said, I think this was a super cool point that she brought up, was that even though they're from a mid-major, you have to remember that they worked just as hard. They won conference. They got to the NCAA finals just like that Stanford, Wisconsin, Texas you were talking about.
Yep.
And so I just think that's a really cool mindset to go in, and she learned a lot. So regardless of the result, whether she makes the team or not, I think it's going to – what her and Kaylee Martin learned there is really going to be shown in this spring season and the next fall by the Birds.
Yeah, I would definitely think so, because they want to make it to the NCAA tournament. Not only make it, but they want to – advance, because the past couple times they've gotten swept and they don't want to be swept
again. And I imagine I couldn't even imagine going to play and then you play the number four team in the country at home. Like, yeah. Wisconsin was home.
Yeah, on their
court. It's a big step up for sure.
Oh, look
and
who's joined
coming
us.
In, it
look
is joined Mitch us. Watts joining us, as we mentioned, stepping in for Scott Rosales. He is going home to get an MRI. He's might have some surgery. So.
Prayers up for Scott. He's kid's got a bad hip.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you.
He's like an old man.
He's got a bad hip, but he had surgery. He's rehabbing it. And so I think this MRI is all good things. Regardless, we're still keeping him in our thoughts.
Absolutely.
But Mitch, thanks for filling in.
Absolutely.
And thanks for filling in for me a couple weeks ago. I never got to thank you for that.
Absolutely, dude. I love to be here at all times, for sure.
Oh, it's nice to have someone on the show and fill in. And that's the nice thing about this station. We've always got guys that are really interested in sports, so glad to have you on, Mitch. Now we transfer into our segment. We are talking some Redbird football, specifically about James Robinson. Not only is he trying to prepare for the draft, he is going to participate in the NFL Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium tomorrow.
He's one of three Missouri Valley Conference guys who got the invite. He is ranked... we were talking about it before the show. They have a prospect grading system, and he's ranked a 5.6, which NFL.com says he's got a chance to make a roster or a practice squad, which is not terrible. The highest guy from the Missouri Valley, I think, is like a 5.8, so he's not too far off from the guys who are going with him. But we just wanted to talk a little bit, and Freddie, I haven't really gotten the chance to talk to you about what you think is going to happen with his NFL career. But personally, where do you see him going?
I think it should be interesting. I was talking about this a little bit with Tom LaMonica after our class, and he's like, who do you think is going to be more successful in the next few seasons, Joe Burrow or James Robinson? And I was something like, I don't know, Joe Burrow. He's like, well, you don't know. And that's the thing, you don't know.
That's a great point. I didn't know where he was going with it. At first I was like, I'm going to have to go Joe Burrow, but that's a very good point.
Joe Burrow's got small hands.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, but with someone like James Robinson, they've been listing his strengths and weaknesses, so they might not see him as a really talented running back because he's a mid-major person, but he's been able to rush. He had the single, I believe, set the record for most rushing yards in a playoff game where he just exploded against SEMO, and I think he's going to be able to try and demonstrate what he can do tomorrow.
And I was reading these strengths and weaknesses that they have on his draft profile, and having watched him play all season, some of them make sense, like girthy body type as a running back. That makes sense. He's a bigger guy. He fills those holes. A lack of acceleration, that's something that he did struggle with. As a free runner, he couldn't get that breakaway speed that you see guys like Alvin Kamara get. But there are also some weaknesses that they listed that I thought were a little off base. It says runs into contact and not through it. And I don't know about you, but I've seen James Robinson run through plenty of guys in his ISU career.
I think he has. There's no doubt about it. But I think what they're trying to get at is, he just runs up the middle too much and just gets clogged and probably just gives up. I think they want to just see him try and get a plan B or plan C, just get to the outside and run on the sideline, try and beat some of the defenders. I mean, he did that in the Senior Bowl. He had the longest rush in the Senior Bowl for a running back, and he even beat out one of the Alabama defenders on his way to the end zone.
And I think that he has a lot of potential, but you're absolutely right. You said it earlier. Being from a mid-major school, he's got a lot of people who don't really know who he is. I mean, for guys like us who have watched him play for the last two seasons, it's obvious that this is a talented dude. But it all depends on whether he can show out for an NFL team.
Right now he's striking interest from the Bears a little bit, so a little hometown. Homegrown action, trying to get someone in there. And he also got some props from LaDainian Tomlinson as well. And if you're getting props from him, I mean, like...
LT's the GOAT.
I did see that on NFL Network. He's like, I want to give a little love to my guy, James Robinson. I'm like, LaDainian Tomlinson.
That's a big endorsement there.
But what I will say about the Bears is I don't think that... James, I would hate to see, like, I'm a Bears fan, right? But I would hate to see James Robinson go to the Bears because he's not Matt Nagy's system running back at all. He would be so underused in Matt Nagy's system, which is that's not a knock on James Robinson. If anything, that's a knock on Matt Nagy, but we're not going to get into that right now. But I'm just saying that I would much rather see him go to a team kind of like Jacksonville, although I know they're already set with Leonard Fournette.
Complimentary back.
But it's a team with a system like that, that revolves around a stronger running back, or like a team that revolves around running back like the Titans. You know, he's a great guy when he runs in between the tackles, and he's very strong. He can break tackles. I think there's a lot of teams that run that kind of system, but I don't think the Bears are one of them.
He's the type of back that is a really good complimentary back to more of like an agile type guy where you can just put him in here and be like, all right, it's a 1 yard line, we want you here, throw him in there and try and get a six.
And that was one of the strengths that his draft profile or his combine profile listed. They said, let me find it here, they said, patience and vision to find daylight near the end zone.
That's money.
That's money. And that's a great way to get yourself into the league, being a guy who can run from 1-2 yards out and punch the ticket into the end zone.
Every team needs a back like that, absolutely. I mean, because the Bears seen it firsthand. Tariq Cohen just is not really that guy for them. I mean, they tried it out with, I can't think of his name for some reason. The guy from Iowa State.
Oh, Demon.
Yeah, David Montgomery. Couldn't think of it for some reason, but yeah.
Well, just to give some context, Mitch is a Cowboys fan.
I am a Cowboys fan. I get hate for it all the time. I do, that one slipped my mind. I know David Montgomery, but yeah, definitely Cowboy Nation over here.
And James Robinson, just starting his thing to the combine, the NFL draft, tweeted the top performers in the bench press among running backs. We got... They got Scotty Phillips, Siwo Olenilua, then Benny LeMay, and then James Robinson tied for third with 24 reps of 225.
That's impressive.
That's
real impressive.
And that's that strength that's coming in for him. And I'm excited. The more we follow along with the combine, the more I see his name pop up. You guys talked about the LT thing earlier. This was 22 minutes ago. The NFL draft tweeted this. And I think as we go, I think more teams are going to realize that, hey, maybe this guy can be our guy moving forward.
And I think we've seen it in the Missouri Valley Conference that they say the Valley runs deep, and they don't just say that for any reason. I mean, we've seen it time in and time again with a bunch of the players. We see with the Redbirds, they've had Devonta Harris, Spencer Schnell is trying to work his way onto a roster. We got Cam Meredith, he's working his way. And then most notably for the North Dakota State Bison, it's been Carson Wentz who is able to really impact the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I think that you're absolutely right. The Valley runs deep, and I'm excited. Like, this is the first year in a while that I'm, like, excited to watch the draft, because I think with a good showing, or if he continues his good showing here at the Combine, I think we could see James Robinson go fourth or third round.
I would definitely think so. Someone like Devontae Harris, our freshman year, he got drafted in the fifth round by the Cincinnati Bengals, so it's definitely possible. I think with someone like him, you're going to need a strong running back, and he is kind of a bit like Derrick Henry. He might be small, but, you know, he's pretty physical, so I think he can really wrap his head around, you know, take things seriously, and if the scouts can really see the talent that he's got and not overlook him, he should have a pretty entertaining NFL career.
We really need some Redbird representation in the NFL. It's lacking right now.
We do.
We need some more.
Would you be, Mitch, down for a little James Robinson going to Dallas?
They kind of are set at running back right now, I would
say. Zeke, yeah.
Zeke, and they just drafted Tony Pollard last year, who had a pretty good rookie season. So I don't really see them wasting a pick on a running back. But, I mean, by all means, I'll take a guy like this. You never know if Zeke can get hurt, man. You never know.
That's true. And they compliment all of his coaches. They all compliment his work ethic. He's a guy who he doesn't care about the fame. He doesn't care about the money. He plays because he loves football.
He's a football guy.
And that's, I think that's what makes for the best football players of all time.
Absolutely.
I think you look at guys like Jim Brown or Walter Payton, you know. Those are guys that didn't care about the money. They didn't care about the fame. They just put their nose down and played football.
Would definitely, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. You're super right, for sure.
Yeah, the guys that are going to want to play in the NFL are the guys that are going to want it more than anyone else. We are running a bit short on time, but we will get to our Twitter question of the week, which is, where do you see James Robinson going in this year's NFL draft? Is it either in rounds 1 through 3, rounds 4 through 6, round 7, or is he going undrafted? We're going to tweet that in a couple seconds. Just tweeted it. We would like to hear from you guys, but we will take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news and sports guys here on the Red Zone on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND. Thank you, Marcel, for that wonderful newscast. Thanks again for coming on the show. And Marcel, he wanted to talk about some NBA action as it is quickly approaching it's almost playoff time in about a month and a half or so. So you want to talk about the NBA front runners. Who is going to take home that Larry O'Brien trophy?
Anthony, because I always think after the All-Star break is now really when you can kind of separate, like, the contenders from the pretenders a little bit in a way.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That was nice.
Yeah, so I think, to answer your question, I think, as you said, the Milwaukee Bucks, they've already, like, seeded the number one spot. So they already clinched the seed.
Crazy. They are 50-8 on the season.
Wow.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
That's insane. Could
they go and beat the Warriors' record? They probably have to win out because the Warriors had 9 losses the entire season. So maybe if the Bucks can get on the hot streak, because the Greek Freak, if he keeps lighting up.
Yeah, indeed.
It's nuts how the Bucks in this age of basketball, where it's all about the 3-ball, right? And everybody's got to have shooters all the time, and you got to have your big 3 or your big 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
They completely flipped it on its head. They're like, we got this big man who is shaping up to be one of the most dominant big men in NBA history. Let's surround him with guys who can shoot, and he can just either drive and score or drive and dump it out to them. The way they play offense is nuts. And until I don't see anyone in the league who can come close to stopping it.
Honestly, I agree with you, like, 100%. Especially, like, when you look at Giannis, like, on TV, you can even tell he's just such, like, a physical specimen, like, to behold.
He's insane.
He's insane. He's 7 foot tall. He's, like, shredded out of his mind. Like, it's insane. But anyway, as you said, Anthony, front runners in the East, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. I have them going to conference finals, like, obviously. But it's just about who's going to contend with them. I had the 76ers as a dark horse for, like, the longest time. But I think now, like, they definitely, like, well, obviously they can't play together now because they couldn't figure out in the first place with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. But now they're both hurt. So we don't know how they're going to be available down the stretch. So I'm going to have to pick the Toronto Raptors to meet up with the Bucks in the East. And I think that's going to be a 7-game series. And I think the Raptors are going to be back in the finals.
I said at the beginning of this season, I caught a lot of flack for it. I said on this show I said, watch out for the Miami Heat.
Yes.
And they have surprised me. They look legit. I think Jimmy Buckets, he's a top-tier talent in the league. I think he's finally found a place where he gels with his team. Tyler Hero's an animal. As a kid, I had a Udonis Haslam jersey.
Oh, nice. OG.
The fact that he's still on the team is just nuts. But I like them in the East, although I don't think anybody but the Bucks is even going to come close to coming out of the East. But I would say watch out for the Heat as we get into the playoffs, just because they seem like a team that could step up when it counts. They're like kind of scrappy, you know, I like them a lot.
Yeah, they could definitely be that dark horse that, like, no one expects, and then all of a sudden they make their way up to the conference finals, and they're like, oh, wow, where did these guys come from?
Yeah, definitely. And I think also it was a big deal when, back before trade deadline, that they picked up Andre Iguodala and also Jay Crowder from Memphis. I think those two veterans are going to be huge, not just coming off the bench, but also good, like, I guess you can say, good role models for younger players on that Miami roster, such as like a Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo.
Exactly, and it's like having guys who have been there before, like Andre Iguodala is literally a finals MVP. So if you've got that young squad, having the guys who have been there before, Jay Crowder, been there before, Andre Iguodala, been there before. So having those guys, it makes your locker room a less tense place when you get to these playoffs.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I agree with that. And now coming off the West, though, the West is insane.
The West is way harder to predict.
It is, because, like...
It's the wild, wild West.
Definitely, for sure, because there's so many, like, just quality teams in there who could, like, knock out, like, the Lakers or the Clippers or, like, the Rockets on any given night. Like, I look at Utah. They're a bit streaky right now. I think they've lost, like, their last four. But, like, Donovan Mitchell, like, Bojan Bogdanovic, like, Mike Conley, those guys are, like, type of guys who could show up in a seven-game series, like, over time and just have, like, a big game. Like,
Team that you didn't even mention, the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, of course.
Have been... They were great in the West last year. They're great again. Nikola Jokic is... insane, but I'm looking at their roster right now. He's surrounded by a very good supporting cast. They run pretty deep. Paul Millsap, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, all guys. Mason Plumlee. These are guys who aren't gonna be your all stars, but they are great role players. They've kind of built their team. Looking at it, I'm just kind of like the Bucks. Although Nikola Jokic is nowhere near the animal that Giannis is, but they have kind of the same system in place offensively.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So I think they could be kind of scary. But do you think there's anyone who's going to take down the Lakers? They've just looked so hot this second half of the season.
That's a good question. You know, I don't know if I'm buying the Lakers yet, Joey.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say... 90% of the time when I'm watching the Lakers, I just see LeBron lobbing up to AD, like, right at the rim. Like, it's been working so far, like, a lot this year, but I don't know if it's going to translate, like, to, like, playoff intensity, I guess, as you could say. And also, I have to say my favorites out the West are the Clippers.
Okay.
Easy favorite. I mean, they have the
Kawhi.
Best. Kawhi. They have Paul George. Of course, you're all-stars. But then, like, off the bench, like, their bench is insane. They just picked up Reggie Jackson, who I think is going to be a pretty big attribute for them in terms of the scoring. Of course, they got Marcus Morris as well.
And then you've got Lou Will and Pat Bev on the same team.
Pat Bev.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's insane.
That is insane. So, I mean, it'll be really competitive. Like, I think he's going to come out the East this year.
And they do say defense wins championships. I think the Clippers are far and away the most defensively sound team in the West, if not in the entire NBA. So I would be, if I'm just looking at it right now, if they are slated to play the Jazz, if I'm Utah, I don't want to play. I don't want to see them in the first round.
Oh, definitely not. No, no way, for sure.
But so looking at it, the Thunder are kind of a surprise in fifth in the West right now. Not having the core that they've usually had. I mean, the Chris Paul, who's aging. They've got Dennis Schroeder, Steven Adams. But they've scrapped together an all right season for themselves.
Yeah, they have. And it's actually been quite impressive, like, how they've came together as a team. Because, like, a lot of us didn't think at the beginning of the year that Chris Paul would even play for the Thunder. We thought they'd probably send him off somewhere else. But, no, he's had, like, one of his best years to date so far in the NBA. But I don't know if they're... I think they could be a threat maybe to take down, like, the Lakers or the Denver Nuggets, but I don't know if they can take down, like, the Clippers. I think more of, like, the Houston Rockets. I think they're going to be, like, one of the teams to, like, take down, I think, either one of the LA teams.
Yeah, James
small
Harden
ball.
Is just phenomenal. Just fearing the beard from beyond the arc, his little Euro step. I mean, he can just do it all.
Yeah, indeed. And I got to ask you guys about Houston. This small ball thing they're doing, it seems to be working out pretty well so far. What do you guys think?
I don't know. You see guys make jokes all the time about James Harden and how the travel with the gather step and, like, how he's exploiting that rule. But I think if you've got it, you've got it. And James Harden obviously has it. Russell Westbrook has been one of my favorite players in the NBA for a very long time. I love the way he plays. I think he's one of the more all-around sound players. There's not really a flaw in his game. I think that was huge for Houston. They've got a pretty good supporting cast. I would just fear for them down the road that if they run into somebody like the Lakers who have a lot of size, I don't know if they could quite contend, especially if you look at if they come out of the West. If let's say the Rockets come out of the West, they see the Bucks. Mm-hmm. I don't know a single guy who's going to be able. Like James Harden can only hit so many threes, and if you've got Giannis down low, I don't see any one of these guys making it past him.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think maybe they'd put like two on Giannis? Because like if they just yeah, as you said, Joey, if they only have like one person on Giannis, you're gonna have like PJ Tucker. Like it was like
yeah,
6'3".
It's like PJ Tucker, or I mean maybe Tyson Chandler.
Maybe,
but either those are not good options to cover Giannis.
Yeah, you're gonna need to have a double team, like get into the 2-3 zone, just have him try and crash on him, because as big as he is and fierce as he is, no one's going to be able to take him down just one-on-one. And if you're someone who's like 5'10", there's no way you're going to be able to try and get a steal off him.
I just think the Rockets aren't big enough to compete in the East. I think in the West it works because everybody's a little smaller. But when you get out into the East, that's when the size really becomes a factor. Like the Raptors are big and the Celtics are big. And so I just don't think that they'd have the same amount of success that they've had in their own conference. But at the same time, I've been wrong about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, and James Harden is an absolute animal. So is Russell Westbrook. So if they can, I mean, Russell Westbrook has gone up against big physical guys before and come out on top. So, you know, I could be just spitting garbage out of my mouth, but I just don't see the Rockets being a super big threat, especially when you've got teams like the two from L.A.
I agree with that 100%. And the only concern really I have for like the Lakers, of course, like as everyone knows, unfortunately Kobe, the great Kobe Bryant passed away. And with that, I think for Lakers just comes with a ton of pressure, like to win like the NBA championship. Also, it would be a story, like no doubt if the Lakers win, I think they're going to make a movie out of it. Somehow.
Oh yeah.
Like
that's a 30 for 30 waiting to happen.
Oh my goodness, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it would be like totally like a Cinderella story. But can LeBron and like AD like I mean AD just LeBron like physically like and emotionally like support this team and like just put him on
LeBron's
back.
I think that there's a lot of bench talent on the Lakers that kind of goes unnoticed, or not even bench talent, just other guys on the team. Like I don't know if you're a Kyle Kuzma believer or not. Guys, there are plenty of people split. But you can't deny that, like, Alex Caruso is, for, like, a 6'3 balding white dude, he can hoop.
Yeah, it's true.
Like he can go out there and put up great numbers, and they've got this weird eclectic mix of just, like, they've got Rajon Rondo and Dwight Howard, these two old heads who, like, they are just, like, creeping along trying to stay relevant. But then you got Danny Green.
Danny Green. Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because Danny Green was phenomenal for the Raptors in the playoffs last year. That was one of the most fun things to watch in the playoffs last year was Danny Green and Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam kind of work behind Kawhi. And so I think Danny Green can do the same thing, except now he's got two superstars to work behind.
Yeah, true.
So I think they've got a lot of guys who can step up in the playoffs. It's just a matter of can you get out of the West?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Like, that's the biggest thing. And also, I think they also picked up Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
Marcus is more, I guess they're twin brothers, right?
Yeah. I think they got Markieff.
Yeah, they got Markieff. Yeah. But, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But when it comes down to it, if they don't meet before, I think like the Lakers and the Clippers would be like the Western Conference final.
That would be a pretty insane final at the Staples Center. Yeah.
I want to know what's your finals prediction? Who's coming out of the East? Who's coming out of the West? And who comes out on top?
Okay, so coming out of the East, as I said before, I'm going to have to go to Raptors because I think they just have too many guys who have been there before, and I think if they can come up with the right strategy tactically-wise to at least, then you're not going to stop Giannis, but honestly, they'll slow him down, so maybe he has to distribute the ball more to maybe more of his three-point shooters like Chris Middleton or Drew Bledsoe. Like, because that three is less guaranteed than Giannis driving into the paint and just slam dunking.
Exactly.
In the face. So I think Toronto can come up with a solution for that, at least subparly, and like other big guys perform. I think Toronto, they can come out the East. And coming out the West, I'm going to have the Clippers. Just as we talked about before, they just have too much depth, I think, more than any team in the NBA by far. And I think just Paul George and Kawhi, they're just the leaders on that team.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. The L.A. Clippers out of the Western Conference. If I had to make a bold prediction right now, I'm thinking the Milwaukee Bucks over the Los Angeles Clippers in the NBA final.
Okay, that's
I like that.
I'm thinking I'm definitely, Marcel, you got me thinking. Because I was Bucks all the way coming in, but
yeah.
The Raptors, I was just looking at the roster. I forgot how much I love that team. Like, that's such a, all the guys on that team, watching those, they're so fun to root for. That buzzer beater that Kawhi hit last playoffs.
Against the Sixers.
That was nuts. That was, he's like on, and it's just bouncing, and everybody's like, so that was so cool. So you got me on the Raptors train, but coming out of the West, it's tough. I think I got to go Lakers, though. I think it's, LeBron is still top three, if not the best player in the NBA.
Oh, definitely.
AD is up there. I think they've got a great supporting cast, like the Clippers. But I think it's going to be a LA Western Conference Final for sure.
Okay. All right.
Pretty bold prediction, but I mean, anything can happen with all these, like, super teams. Everyone's trying to get everyone. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be the best segment in sports talk radio. Stay with us. You're listening to The Red Zone on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
Going up, coming down.
It's the three up, three down.
Three up, three down.
Only on the Pulse of Redbird Nation, 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. It is the best segment probably in sports talk radio, the three up, three down, and it is the final week of this. This is crazy.
Heated.
Still a lot to play for. So if you don't know how this works, we pick six men's college basketball games. Three of them have to be favorites to win. Three of them have to be underdogs. At least only one favorite can be over 80% in at least one Missouri Valley Conference game. Now let's take a look at the standings heading into this final week. Rounding out at the bottom is Scott Rizala. He is 15-21.
And Mitch will be picking for him today. Yeah. I can say from experience, having Mitch pick for you is not the best way to go about it.
It was one time, and it was the first time I ever done it, and it was a little iffy. I started out super hot.
Hey, 2-4 is not bad.
I mean, we've had people do worse. 6,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, people have done 0-6.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
You're picking a favorite over 80 to go 0-6. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's a little shout out to Leo.
Yeah, Leo. That's tough. Dug them a bit of a hole, but they were able to get out of it as they're in fourth. They're 15-15. Then Joey in third, 20-16. Faculty advisor Steve C's in second, 23-13. And then I am up at the top, standing at 26-10.
Hey, I still got podium. Top three, baby. I don't think the guest or Scotty's going to catch me. I think I'm coming up on Steve, though. If Steve has a bad week and I have a good one,
he can kiss
second place goodbye. If Freddie goes 0-6 and I go 6-0, we could tie. Wow. So mathematically,
yes, there's still a lot to play for, a lot on the line. One thing's for certain is we're on the podium. I mean, it's doable with Steve. He's consistently gone 4-2, but then he went 3-3 this past week. So a little tough, you know, might be losing his confidence a little bit. But nonetheless, let's get it started.
He's slipping. Steve, if you're listening, just know I'm coming for you.
He's confident that he can take us all down, but you know what, let's cut to the chase. Let's get these games going. We'll start with the up games. My first one is Illinois over Northwestern at 77.4%.
My first up is also going to be Illinois at Northwestern at 77.4%. Freddie, I think that's a good pick.
It is a good pick.
All right, guys. For my three up, three down, first game I have Maryland. They were playing Michigan State. So I have them as my favorite.
All right. I like it.
My first pick, I'm going to have to go with the Jayhawks of Kansas. They got a rivalry game this Saturday against Kansas State on the road. They're 91%.
Oh, that's your over 80.
That was a lock. Not many people know that I'm a Kansas Jayhawk fan.
Ooh.
I just went there for school.
I don't know.
I'm a little all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know where Mitch is.
I could tell you the explanation, but it would take. He was on. There was a character on March Madness 05. he was on Kansas, and I started playing with him, and I was rocking with him ever since.
That's fair. I was a Calgary Flames fan for a little bit because I loved Mika Kiprasov. Off in NHL 7, so I feel you.
For fandom.
Oh boy, Steve's first pick got to be going with the lesser known teams. He has got Illinois Chicago over Detroit 75.3%.
And man, for listeners who don't know, Steve hosts this conference tournament bracket. You pick every conference tournament game. It's like 128 games, something nuts like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how this man watches so much college basketball. It's ridiculous.
It is.
I have no idea. I can't keep up. But it's fun to pick games you don't know.
It is, yeah. He's like a ZND's version of like Joe Lenardi, kind of really analyzing it. Second pick for me, I've got Ohio State over Nebraska, 85.4%. That's my over 80.
My over 80, I'm going way over 80. I got Belmont, they're hosting Tennessee Tech, 98.2%.
Almost was going to pick that game.
I'm glad you didn't because I got to gain some ground on you. I'm feeling confident about that one.
My over 80, I had the same game that Mitch picked, Kansas City, just a rivalry game with Kansas, playing Kansas State. What was it, 91%? Yeah, so that's my second game. I got Kansas being K-State.
For my second game, I have the Michigan Wolverines over Wisconsin. They are a 71% favorite, and that game just kicked off about an hour ago, so it is currently underway. Hopefully Michigan pulls that one out.
Steve's second pick, this is his over 80. He's got Gonzaga over San Diego, 99.2%. My final up pick is my Missouri Valley Conference pick. I got the UNI Panthers over the Drake Bulldogs at 74.6%.
That's a good pick. My last up, I'm going to go Florida State. They're going to Clemson. It's only a 62.6%. But I really like the roster Florida State's got this year. Clemson, not so much. So let's go Seminoles.
All right. For my last three up, I have Villanova. They're traveling to Providence on Saturday. And Villanova, I have them being Providence. I believe their win percentage was about like 87%, something around there. But yeah, that's my third one.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty surefire pick.
And for mine, this is my MVC pick of the week. Bradley, who just beat Illinois State the other day in overtime, tough loss. They're going to beat Loyola Chicago. They are 59% favorite. So that one's pretty close, but I got Bradley taking that one out.
It's going to be a pretty big game. Steve's last pick, he's also going UNI over Drake. Now we get to the down picks. This is where it gets interesting. My first pick I'm taking into the Pac-12, Colorado over Stanford, 45.1%.
All right, good pick. I see you. I'm going Michigan. They're playing in Ohio State. Huge Big Ten matchup. Only got a 33.4% chance, but I love the Wolverines. So let's go, baby. Go blue, or whatever they say.
All right.
Go blue.
I'm taking the bet with Virginia beating Duke this weekend. I think Duke just got knocked off in another upset again. I think Virginia, they're still a really good team, and I believe that they can pull off the upset for sure. And I believe their win, I think their chances were up 48%. So
trying to go over the my first down pick is Penn State over Iowa. Penn State is actually ranked higher, but they had a tough loss earlier this week, so Iowa is the favorite. Penn State's at a 34%, but I'm taking them to take that game.
Steve's first down pick, he is going Missouri over Mississippi State. Mississippi State has a 54.3% chance to win. My second down one going Big Ten, Maryland over Rutgers, 49.4%. So that's about a 50-50 game.
All right. I like it. My next down pick, I'm going to need you boys to promise you're not going to hate me after this. All right?
Okay.
All right?
I'll always love you, Joey.
Glad Scott's not here.
Oh, Scotty would tear me a new one for this. I've got Evansville. They're hosting Illinois State.
Uh-oh.
They're without a conference win. Evansville has a 45.7% chance. I'm going to be there. I'll have you know, I'm going to be in Evansville, repping the Birds. My friend's getting me in for free with another Evansville student ID. I'm going to be sitting in the Evansville student section, repping the Redbirds. However, I am going to take Evansville to win. So.
I mean, their season's just unpredictable. I mean, you never know.
Indeed. So, guys, for my second down, I'm going to have Auburn beating Kentucky this weekend.
That's a good game.
Yeah,
I like that one a lot.
Indeed.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big game coming up. Auburn, again, they're having a really strong season. And I think Kentucky, they've still been winning, but they haven't been playing their best. Not tournament best, anyway, coming towards March. I believe Auburn's winning percentage chance was around 43%, 41%.
31.
Sorry, Mitch is trying to be smooth, trying to give him a percentage off camera. I wasn't smooth with it.
Hey, you're straight. You're good. Nothing to worry about.
All good. But yeah, I have Auburn knocking off Kentucky.
For my second down pick, I'm going to take the Michigan State over Maryland. The Maryland just barely won last night on a buzzer beater. The Terps are going down. Michigan State Spartans, they're taking that with a 43% chance.
Interesting pick. Steve's second pick, he's going Charleston Southern over Presbyterian.
God, what a snoozer. What an absolute snoozer.
50.3%, so they're an underdog. My final down pick, this one's a frisky one. I'm taking the Wisconsin Badgers over the Michigan Wolverines. Wisconsin listed at 28.4%.
Okay, respect. My last one is going to be Central Michigan. They're going to Eastern Michigan, but I'm a big Chippewas guy.
Fire up chips.
I'll have you know. I'm taking up the Chippewas. They got a 40.3.
All right, and for my third down, I'm going to have... Yeah, don't hate me for this, guys. I'm going to have Bradley beating Loyola this
Okay,
weekend.
You know what? I picked against Illinois State, but at least I didn't pick Bradley.
Yeah, true.
At least I didn't pick Bradley.
I know, guys.
That's gutless.
I know.
That's absolute squid.
I have no faith, no loyalty at all, but I think I'm going to have them being the Ramblers this weekend.
I can respect the pick, though.
No. And for my last down pick, Marcel, you already had this one. Auburn over Kentucky, man. I'm really rocking with this one. 31%. This Saturday, it should be a good game. I'm really rocking with the Tigers from Auburn.
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers! A little different.
Yeah, wrong.
But go Tigers!
Go Tigers! Yeah, wrong Tiger team. Steve's last pick. He is going Colorado over Stanford. I mean, he must have just been peeking at my picks as he's got a couple of them. But that will round it out for this final edition of Three Up, Three Down. We will have the final standings in St. Louis next week. That is crazy to think.
That's going to be a fun show. We're going to be down at Arch Madness, me, Ferretti. We're going to be joined by Leo Stoddaher and Joe Kennedy. That's going to be a great show. And usually right now, about 7:01, 7:02 p.m., we'd be signing off. But we got a little surprise.
There is a little surprise. We're going 2 hours. No, just kidding.
We're going all night.
Yeah. Well, if only we could then. Yeah, we should bring that up to programming.
Yeah,
hey, but nonetheless,
hear me out.
Yeah.
6 hour red zone.
Yeah,
hour per second.
I'm for it.
That would be crazy. Yeah. I don't know if programming would allow that. But the surprise we got is we got Red Bird basketball coming up shortly. They are going to tip off at 7:30, but we have coverage at 7, starting at 7:20. But we're just going to be doing a longer pregame in anticipation of this broadcast.
And I'm excited about it. We've got Redbirds women's basketball tonight, and I'm always love talking sports with you guys.
We're
going to get a little extra segment in, so I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, they're taking on the Missouri State Lady Bears, who are 17th ranked in the nation, the only Missouri Valley Conference team for women's basketball that has been ranked. We went to Springfield earlier, earlier this month. Lost a tough one, so maybe we can try and get some home court advantage back, gain some momentum so that they can get something going heading into Hoops in the Heartland.
And, Freddie, I just want to ask you, because you might be the biggest Redbirds women's hoops fan that I know. I've been so up and down on them this season. They're 7-7 in conference right now. They're stuck right in the middle of the valley. What do you think? They've still got, counting the game tonight, they've got 4 games left in the regular season. What do you think their playoff aspirations should be? Do you think they should be shooting for the title or to not lose in the first round?
I think not losing in the first round, that's what head coach Kristen Westby is going to want. You don't want to lose. Want to try and build it up. The first time they didn't win a game, then when we went last year, they won their first game. I believe they beat Bradley and then lost to Drake, so they want to keep going as far as they can. I think this is one of the stronger teams that Coach Gillespie has put together this season, and hopefully it is enough for them to try and get a postseason berth, not the NCAA tournament, but even the women's NIT, just showing what they can do. But the Missouri Valley Conference is really competitive. I mean, you've got UNI and Missouri State up there that just are unstoppable. It's going to be difficult to beat them, but if you can play a close game with them and really give them a run for their money, then the NCAA selection committee can kind of take a step back and say, hey, Redbirds are legit.
Yeah, this is a very telling game because, I mean, Missouri State's 23-3. I mean, if you can come out here and pull out a W right here, I mean, that'd only be
their second momentum. Conference loss.
Yeah, I mean, we need it from the Birds doing it. If anybody's going to do it, the Lady Birds have to do it.
I believe it was Southern Illinois that beat Missouri State to give them their first loss, so it's possible.
And looking at the standings right now, Illinois State's sitting one spot above a Thursday game. And so I think each of these next 4 are very important because coming up for the Birds, you've got Southern Illinois, who you said beat Missouri State, but they're only 8-7 in conference. And then you've got Evansville, the Evansville basketball woes. We all know about it this season. The women are 0-15 in conference. And then Indiana State, who are 2-13. And those are two huge games for the Birds that they've got to win to build that momentum going into Hoops in the Heartland.
I mean, it's crazy to think that our men's team is struggling, but with Evansville, they don't have a single conference win between their men's and women's team.
That's got to be some sort of NCAA record. That's insane.
0-15.
Yeah, got to be frustrating. Like, we're being frustrated as Redbird fans as they can start a game pretty strong, but they can't finish.
And this is a team. This is a team. They've got three wins all year, and they beat number one Kentucky.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Isn't that
crazy to say?
That is
number one Kentucky, and somehow they can't get it going in the Valley.
If UMBC can get a win against number one Virginia, then so be it, man. Evansville can beat number one Kentucky.
Yeah, UMBC Twitter thing tweeted Evansville. They're like, hey, welcome to the upset club.
That's love right there.
Still, I was absolutely floored by that. But going back to women's, Freddie, you were saying there's a clear top two, Missouri State and Drake. Both have incredible programs. Drake bounced the Birds last year at the game we were at. So heading in to the heading into Hoops in the Heartland, my biggest concern for this team is that we're like in this weird limbo place. I can't really describe how the Bird season has gone because they're good. Like, this is a good team. Like, like you said, this is Christian Gillespie's best team. I agree with that. I just don't know how they stack up against the rest of the conference.
Yeah, I would say so. We've seen Missouri State. They were able to make a huge run in the last season. They made it all the way to the Sweet 16. Then they got rid of their head coach, Kelly Harper. But she went to her alma mater to coach at Tennessee. But regardless, she's been doing well. The new Missouri State coach has been doing well. But trying to compete with those teams is going to be tough. But I think there's just that, like, one spark that they need that's just preventing them from really being dangerous.
And who do you think could provide that spark? Because we've seen a lot of contribution up and down the roster, but if you had to pick one player who's kind of got to put the team on their back and carry them through the postseason, who would that be for you?
There's been a lot of good players. I'm thinking the most consistent player, one that I've seen, is Lexi Wallen. She has made her presence felt. She's been playing basketball with the Redbirds, I should say, just for a season and a half, just being able to just get accustomed to those plays within like a week to get things going. She's been really physical inside the paint to try and draw fouls to get the and one. So if they can really drive it into her, they can really get something going.
I agree. I think I think another player to watch, Paige Saylor. Obviously, she's been here since we've been here.
Yep.
She's always been one of my favorite players to watch on this team. Her ball control is very, very good. I don't know who is going to step up for this Redbirds team, but there has to be somebody because they're playing at this good level, right? They're at this level where it's like we can beat bad teams, we lose to great teams. And they need just a little step up, and I just don't know where they're getting it from. Because watching all season, that's all we've wanted as fans, right? That's all we've wanted is for them to take that step, and I feel like they're so close. And there are four games left, and so there's time to do that, but somebody needs to be that dominant force.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Mary Crompton. She's been someone the Redbirds really wanted to rely on her last year, but she got an injury, so she redshirted. This is her first full season competing. She's been trying to contribute a little bit, but she, as we mentioned in one of our earlier shows, she was in the gym just working, and she shot like 400 threes and made like 375 of them. So if she can really get the three ball going and really improve her technique, that could really give the spark that the Redbirds need.
And I am, don't get me wrong, my cynicism is just a blanket because I'm so excited about this team. And I wish we were doing Hoops in the Heartland again.
Yeah,
because
that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Played Moline. I'm from the Quad Cities, so Freddie and I stayed at my house. Living room eating a Papa John's pizza, typing up our post-game stories. But that was a great time. And I think the Birds could be a threat, much more of a threat than the men are going to be in Arch Madness if they don't step it up. But I think overall, the Birds have four games. They're obviously a great, the women's basketball team is always great defensively. They always put up top three numbers in the conference defensively. They just need somebody to step up on offense, and it could be Mary Crompton. That's somebody who has a great outside range. T.T. Madgett is somebody who we've seen put up points like crazy. Lexi Wallen, also very good. So it could be a number of those three players.
Juju Redmond?
There needs to be one. There needs to be one. That's all I'm saying. It's just one player to step up and put the offensive responsibilities on their shoulders.
There's not that much of a discrepancy in, like, there's four teams at 15-10, and Northern Iowa's at 16-10. Just a couple wins here and there, and they're fourth in the conference, almost third in the conference.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You've got to have, there needs to be an edge to bring you from the middle of the pack to the top of the pack.
Yep.
And so I guess we'll see in the next four games if they can get that competitive edge.
Yeah, it's going to be a really important four games. And even as Dan Moeller mentioned, you want to get some momentum heading into the tournament, no matter if that's Arch Madness or Hoops in the Harlem, because it's the Missouri Valley Conference. It runs deep. And as Barry Hinson said, you know, it's the Valley, Scott.
I hope like the three listeners who got that joke laughed very hard because I thought it was hilarious. What a niche impression.
Yeah, gotta love Barry Hinson.
Oh my god. Oh jeez. But yeah, I wish we could have figured out a way to get the guys who are at the Alfonso and
it is Alfonso and Blake Hornstein. They are on the call.
And they're gonna that's gonna be a great crew. Very excited to listen to them while I cut up this show. I want to hear what they have to say. So make sure you stay tuned. Their pregame's coming up very soon.
They are.
Goodness, I know. the extended yeah. Red Zone. And after 7 p.m., I was just looking at you boys. We're all just
looking at
ready to take a nap here.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I know. So yeah, make sure you stay tuned. But we gonna send it to the boys in the Redford Arena?
I think we shall give them see what our broadcasters have to say right before tip off. You have been listening to the Red Zone. Thank you so much, everyone. That is. For the show, we had a great show. Talked with Steph Jankiewicz, we did James Robinson, NBA front runners. It was a good show.
It's a fun show. I thank you, Mitch, for coming on.
Absolutely, man, no problem.
Marcel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, no problem.
Shout out to Scotty. Hope you're feeling good after that MRI. He texted me, said he was listening, said Mitch made some bad picks for him.
Oh boy.
So yeah, but
you watch, Mitch is gonna go like 6-0, and then Scott's gonna like
exactly
second guess himself. But thanks so much. Once again, thank you to our news and sports guests, Marcel Francis and Steph Jankiewicz, for being on the show. If you missed any portion of the show, remember, it'll be online at WZND.com shortly. Also, go to @WZNDSports on Twitter and take part in our weekly poll. For everyone on the Red Zone, for Joey Dwyer, Mitchell Wads, Marcel Francis, I am Anthony Freddy. You have been listening to the Red Zone on the Pulse of Redbird Nation.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone, again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And, of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the Pulse of Redbird Nation.